Oh, good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
Oh, man. I don't know if it's just a me thing. I think it's an Australian thing. I've found that in Papua New Guinea, if you say good morning, everyone says good morning. And then when you come to Australia, everyone just looks at you like, it's true. I'm not being rude. It's just what I've noticed. It's just Australians. Australians are weird, right? I'm going to say that because I'm an Australian, so it's okay. All right. Well, good to see you all here this afternoon. Good to be back. Good to see you. Haven't seen you this morning. And it's good to be here. Let's just open in prayer before we start. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today, and we thank you that we can come and we can meet around your word, Lord, and we just pray that you give us wisdom and guidance and just teach us tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you open your Bible up to Genesis chapter 1, Genesis 1:1, right there in the beginning. I'll start off by saying I'm not an evolutionist. I don't even believe in the gap theory, theistic evolution or anything like that. I don't go for it whatsoever. It actually really bugs me. It really annoys me, the whole evolution thing anyway. It annoys me. It's just when Christians go into evolution, you've got a theistic problem. Then you're saying that there's been sin and death for millions of years. No sin, but just death and suffering and violence and bloodshed and thorns and thistles for millions of years before sin. Got a real problem there. So as Christians, we need to know what the Bible says. And so, I'm not going into evolution and all that today, but we're looking in these verses, and let's just look at what these verses say here. Just at the start, in the beginning, God. And that's just a good statement there. Just in the beginning, God. Okay, God was just always there. He has all of the power. God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. God created time. I believe it was all done in a 24-hour day. God has the power for that. It doesn't take millions of years, and the more people look into it, have you noticed? It's actually really interesting. If you look at how old the earth was in the 60s compared to how old the earth is now, it's aging more than 1 year every year. Have you looked that up somewhere? I should have written it out. I looked up, it's aging like 20 million years every year. Like the inflation of the age of the earth, because they changed it. Because they look into all of this stuff and they find things that is so much more complex and so much harder to understand than they originally realized. And they go, "Oh, well, it just had to take longer. Oh, it just had to take longer. Oh, it just had to take longer." And you know, a real funny example is way back in the day, when Darwin was around and everything like this, they had this, an orchid. You know what an orchid is? It's like a flower. I don't know what orchid is. I should study more up on this, but I just read the article about it. And it's got orchids. Orchids are pollinated by moths, you know? And this orchid has a flower that's 30 centimeters long. So, you know, a moth, you got to stick its tongue all the way down in there to get to the bottom to pollinate this thing. So this moth has to have a 30 centimeter long tongue. You know, it must roll up into its mouth 30 centimeters. And they hadn't found the moth back then. Okay, so this was a little while ago, a few hundred years. And so they've got this, and then so, you know, they study these things out, and they study this plant long enough, and then finally the moth lands on it, and they find the moth, and they study this moth, you know, and they cut him up and dissect it, and it must be like a roller blindness on his tongue, comes out, and they go, "This is the moth, they found the moth that pollinized this orchid, and it has a 30 centimeter long tongue." Now that's really cool. And you know what they say? Oh, they evolved together. Yeah, that's really funny. Because it's like the flower just goes, "Hey, you know what, next year, I'm going to be a bit longer. So next year when you come around, your tongue's got to be longer. Because if you don't do that, I'm going to die." You know? It's ridiculous, right? It's ridiculous. This whole evolution thing. In the beginning, God, he created the heaven and the earth. He has the power. There's no question about that. There is no God needed time or it was too hard or anything. He's just got all of the wisdom. He created out of nothing. He spoke it all into being. He created Adam with his own hands, you know, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul, and he was there, and he created man, and he created man to have a relationship with God. And we read there, and imagine what it would have been like, you know, and then they sin, Adam and Eve sin. I'm jumping a little bit ahead here, and you know, and they're hiding themselves, and they're scared, you know, and God comes down in the cool of the day, in the afternoon, God comes down into the garden. That was the way God had it. They were supposed to have a relationship. It was perfect. It was very good. It was without sin. There was no corruption. There was no thorns. There was no thistles. There was no bindies. Like, I mean, we walk through the bush, you get spiked. There's this thing up in North Queensland, and it's called stinging tree. Have you ever heard of it? It is bad. And boys just discovered it recently. It's pretty funny. 3 months. You will feel it for 3 months. I'm not joking. I ran into it some years ago. It got on my arm, it got on my ear, and it got on my foot. I was barefoot, trudging through the bush, new to North Queensland, keen as I'm going to get to the top of that waterfall. And I was bush bashing in unfamiliar territory, and I got stung. It is awful, awful stuff. You can still feel it, can't you? It was weeks ago, and no one believes you how painful it is until they get it. The cold hurts. Anyway, it's just something really phenomenal. And there was none of those things around. I mean, Pastor Scott, he loves his gardens. It would have worked in the Garden of Eden, you know, not like Perth. I don't know how you do it in the sand. It's got to be tough, isn't it? Yeah, you know, and God created everything to be perfect, and it was very good, and there was no pain, and there was no sick, and there was nothing like this, and God came down in the cool of the day. Where is that? It's in Genesis chapter 3. Let's just have a look at that. And he came down in verse 8 there, it says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. In the afternoon, God comes down and saw them. And imagine what that would have been like in the garden, in this perfect place that God made with God. That's what we all long for, isn't it? You know, we all long for heaven. We long for the coming of the Lord. We long for our new bodies. We long for the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem and all of this stuff that we look forward to ahead of time. You know, we're just dreaming about this, and we're praying and we're saying, come, Lord, come, and we want to be there. But imagine being there in those days. It was the way it was supposed to be. And God was there in communion with Adam and with Eve. And they were, I know they were in sin at this point, but just imagine what it would have been like. Perfect. You know, that's what we're longing for. And that's what God is going to restore. He's going to bring these things back. We're looking forward to those things. Those things are yet to come. Okay, let's jump over here. We're going to look at Jesus, okay? Let's go over to John chapter 1. I love reading John chapter 1 with Genesis chapter 1, because it's almost, verse 1, chapter 1 is almost the same verse. But we want to look at Jesus, okay? They fall into sin, and God gives the promise, you know, in Genesis 3:15 that the seed will come. We know who the seed is, don't we? Do we know who the seed is? Genesis 3:15. I'll put enmity between your seed and her seed, and he will crush your head, and he will bruise your heel. It's talking about Christ. It's talking about Christ. And Christ is the Creator. Look at this. Look at this. In John chapter 1, you might need to keep your finger there. We may go back to Genesis chapter 1, I'm not sure. John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know, this shows you the whole three in one thing. There's the Trinity here. The whole Trinity here is in creation. Actually, keep your finger there in Genesis, because we are going to go back. And if anyone ever wants to talk to you about the Trinity, you can point it out here. The Trinity were there. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word. He was there in the beginning. He created all things. Look what it says. The same was in the beginning with God. And verse 3, it says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus made it all. He was the Creator. Go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. It says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." We've got the Trinity there. You know, the Trinity is there. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're all there, part of creation, actively involved in what's going on here. And that's amazing there. That's an interesting to point out. Some people don't see things like that. And so hopefully you have learned something from tonight from there. But let's go back to John. John chapter 1. He was there. He created all things. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. God, Jesus, the Creator. Now you've got to think about that. Think about God. Think about Jesus having all the power that he has. He has the power just to speak and make everything. Like, that's just, we can't imagine it. We're so small and we can't understand it, and we just, you know, we make things, but we need to have material to make things, and we cut things up and we work and we do these things. I'm a boiler maker by trade. I'm a welder. And so I love tools and things like this, and you need to buy steel, and you have a saw, and you have a welder, and you have a grinder, and you do all of this stuff, and you can make cool stuff. And made some pretty cool stuff, and jobs and steel and handrails and trailers, and I've worked in the mines too, and like, we've done all of this kind of stuff, and I walk in a steel shop and I just go, I wish I had all of this. You know, I wish I had all this steel. If I had this, I could make so much, you know. And but God just, we need things, but God just says, well, you know, let's just have the dry ground come up out of the water, and it happens. Let's just have some plants. Let's have some grass and some banana trees and some corn and some mangoes and avocados and roses and flowers and all of this cool stuff. And it all just comes up and it all just grows. He just does it by speaking. And he has the power to do that. And he has the wisdom to do that. And he just does it. And he does it. It tells us in the Bible that he does it just because it looks nice. It's pleasing to the eye. And I love roses. Like, I like some roses. I don't like all roses. I'm not a green thumb, don't get me wrong. But they're spiky. But I love the roses that smell nice. You know the ones that smell like Turkish Delight? You eat Turkish Delight? Does anyone know what Turkish Delight is? Yeah, it's good stuff, right? Rose water. And those roses, they smell like Turkish Delight. They're the real good ones. And when we're in New Guinea, the people that decorate the pulpit and the church up, and they put the roses in there, you could smell them, you know. These smell. God just made that. And I talk about them. I say, God made this. That's amazing how God made this. You think about it. How does your eye see? How do you hear? You know, how does our body heal itself when we get a cut? You know, we'd be mashed to pieces if this stuff never happened. You know, God just makes all this stuff. He's got all of this power. He's got all of this wisdom. And then think about it. He came down to earth. Look at that. Look in John chapter 1. Let's look at verse 14. Verse 14 of John chapter 1, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." You know, God has all of that infinite power, all of that wisdom and all of that strength and all of that might, and he created people, and he knew that they were going to fall into sin, and he created everything, and like, everything is really amazing when you look at it, and he created, and we fell into sin and we rebelled against God, and God says the wages of sin is death, and he goes, but Jesus said, "I will go down," and there was a plan of salvation from the start. It says, we're going to create these people, you know, like you can imagine, you know, they were going to make these people. They're going to fall into sin. But there was a plan of salvation from the beginning. This wasn't an accident. God, it's not like God created Adam and Eve and it's like, oh no, they sinned, what are we going to do? Oh no. You know, God knew that was going to happen. And he knew, all right, well, okay, well, then we're going to have a plan of salvation for these people because we love them, because they're our creation, because they're made in our image. You know, we're made in the image of God. We are His people. We are His workmanship. He has created us, not we ourselves, you know. It says that in the Psalms. And we've rebelled against God and done their own thing. And God, who has all that power, all of that wisdom and all of that might, He became a man. It's alright, I'll become a person. Can you imagine that? Now think about that. There is no other religion in this world that has a God that does something for their people. You know? Every other God and every other religious system and every other something requires everything, something to be done. But God actually came down and done something for us. And He came as a man. Now you think about it. He's God. He's eternal. He's the creator. He has all the power. And He humbles Himself and says, I will become a person. Fully God, fully man. Even though we could just go, poof, wipe all this out. No, no, no. Well, we love these people. I love these people. Even though they're sinners, even though they rebelled against us, even though they did their own thing, even though they want to be God and they tried to push me out and they said, I will be like God, and Satan is in the world and he's deceived all the people and he's turned them away. And verse 14 in John chapter 1, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is John. John wrote this. He was an eyewitness. I love the end of John. And he goes, and all the things that Jesus did and all the other stuff, we didn't write it down. We don't even have enough books to write everything down. All the miracles and all the teachings and everything that Jesus said, he saw it there. The things that I've hold, you read through 1 John, the things that we've held, the things that we've seen with our eyes, that we've heard, we've handled with our hands of the Word of life. These things I've written down, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. And Jesus came down and He healed people. Imagine that. And there's people with leprosy. And if you know much about leprosy, it was a really bad disease that you get, especially back then. And no one touched a leper, and they had to stay out there, and they were an outcast of the community. And you know what Jesus did? He heals them. They come up to Him, and one of them tells him that he touched him. Now that's pretty crazy stuff for Jewish culture. You touch the unclean thing. He touched it. Now Jesus healed the body. He made the body. He knows what's wrong with the body. He knows what this disease is doing to the body. He knows exactly how it works. He knows how to fix it. The man that was born blind. Lazarus, he's dead. Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus comes out. He comes down, He was made flesh and dwelt among us. Look what John the Baptist is. He sees what's going on here. Look at what John the Baptist says. John the Baptist is out there baptizing in verse 29. It says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Remember John the Baptist. Also the angel came to his parents and they were really old. And then she had the baby, and John the Baptist is, you know, like about 6 months older than Jesus, and he's a prophet, and he's a prophet. And then he sees Jesus coming, and he says, hey, look, there's the Lamb of God. There's Jesus, look. And he says it again, look in verse 36, jump down. It says, looking upon Jesus as he walked, he says, behold the Lamb of God. There's the Lamb of God which came to take away the sins of the world. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. That's what he came for. The Word became flesh. The Word is God. He was in the beginning with God. He was God, and He was the creator of all things in the beginning, and He became a person for us. That is huge. Think about that. That's no small thing. God, the creator of all things, came down to earth. walked on this earth. I mean, we walk around here and we see stuff and we go, oh, it's horrible. People say stuff and you go, oh, no, I wish I didn't hear that. And people do things and you're like, well, that's horrible. I wish I didn't, you know, that didn't happen. And all this horrific stuff that goes on like this. And Jesus came down and was a part of that too. He came down. You know what? There was this woman caught in adultery, John chapter 8. They bring her to Jesus. Whoa, she's an adulterer. Well, you know what? Yeah? Well, what about you guys? Have you sinned? You know? He's so kind. And he's so gracious. And he's so loving. And he's so compassionate. He had compassion on the multitudes. He was moved with compassion. You know, we've only got several miracles in the whole Bible that Jesus actually did. I think there's seven miracles in the book of John that are, you know, specifically, you know, outlined and talked about. But, you know, Jesus was out there and there's multitudes of people following him. And it says, and he had compassion on the multitudes and he healed them all. How many? Thousands? We don't know. He fed 5,000 people. In that time, he fed 4,000 people another time. And so how many thousands of people did Jesus actually heal in his whole ministry? We'll never know, you know. And he had compassion. He was moved with compassion. He didn't just feel sorry for them. He didn't go, oh, well, sorry, that's just too bad now. He was moved with compassion. He was moved so much that he actually did something. He came down. And like, I've thought about this before, and I honestly think I'd be too scared to touch a leper. I don't know, that's just me. You might be better than me, whatever. But I don't know. I've never encountered that. I wouldn't want to get it. And I don't know if I'd be too scared to deal with that. I'd be like, oh, maybe like, you want to get in my car? Okay, maybe jump in the boot or something like this. I don't know, tie on the roof rack. I don't know. But Jesus was moved with compassion. And he healed them all. All of them. The creator of all things. The creator of all things. Jump over to Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. This is a really cool verse. This is the 24 elders. They're singing in heaven. We just don't lose your place in John. This is just a quick verse that we're going to look at. One of my favorite verses here, Revelation chapter 4 verse 11. It says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. He is worthy to receive glory and honor and power. He has all the power. He's worthy to receive all this. We need to give him glory. We need to give him praise. He is worthy of these things because he created all things. And he created it just for his own pleasure. Think about that. We make things just for our own pleasure, and you know, we might sit it there and it looks cool and we're really pleased with it and everything. And God created this whole world. Like, that's just crazy. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a big scientist or anything like this, but you know, I like reading some things and looking at it and the stars and planets and space. Like, it's so huge, you know, it's so big. It's the speeds that things are moving in space. The sizes of these things, like, it's just phenomenal. And God cares about us. He cares about all of us. You know, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, in Ezekiel, he's telling the people, he says, have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that I should turn from his ways and live? You know, God, even the worst person, God hates it. He hates it because he has to judge people. His judgment is righteous, yes, but he doesn't want that. He never wanted that for people. You know, and people say, why would God do this? You know, it's like, well, you've had nothing to do with God your whole life, and then you want to turn around and blame him for something. I mean, what did you do for God? This God isn't this God, you know, oh, God's this genocidal God who sent Joshua in here to wipe out all these nations. well, you got to understand a few things here. You know? Like, you got to understand what God is like. You got to understand the character of God. You got to know who God is. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want to do that. I mean, look at Nineveh. Jonah, go to Nineveh. I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm getting out of here. No, go to Nineveh. All right. So he goes to Nineveh. He preaches to him. Goes, sits up on the hill. He's like going, yeah, right. He's waiting for the destruction, you know. He's sitting up there. And then he starts sulking. Oh, see ya. And God didn't want to destroy that city. They repented. They all prayed. They heard Jonah's message and they went, oh, no. Let's get in sackcloth and ashes and repent. And maybe God will change his mind. And he did. Because he doesn't want to do that. That's amazing. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that he should turn from his ways and live. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. There is sin in this world, and people are in sin. And Jesus said, I will die for their sin. But you didn't do anything. Yeah, but that's okay. I'm the creator. I made them. I will die for their sin. And if they believe in me, they can have life. The Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb of God. I will do it for them. I will die for them. I will take away their sins. He was perfect, but he did it anyway. You're the creator. You made these people. We could just poof, wipe them out. You know, Moses did that. He was on the mountain and the people were rebelling. And God's saying, let me just wipe them out. And Moses is like, hey, just wipe me out, you know. And he's like, no, don't wipe them out, you know. And he interceded for the people. It's like Jesus, he intercedes for us people. There's one mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ, right? He's standing in the heavenly, sitting at the right hand of the Father, actually, and he's saying, yeah, I know, there's Chris, he's one of our children, my sin has covered him, like righteous, adopted into the family, awesome, I will die for the people, and if they believe, they can have everlasting life. All they have to do is believe. That's pretty simple. They don't even have to do anything. Okay, they don't even have to offer sacrifices. They don't even have to buy it. All they have to do is believe. Is that enough? Yes. Believe on the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. The Creator of all things came down from heaven as a human. Born, was a little kid. There's not much in the Bible except in Luke about Jesus being about 12 years old. Grew up till he was about 30 and was a man and ministered. And that's what he came for. He came to take away the sin of the world. With all that power and all that might. And that's what he did. Because he loves the people. Because he loves the people. And he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's amazing. That's huge, you know, like that God would do that for us, for people. I mean, seriously? He's God. Imagine, you know, you always read the Bible and I just go, man, I wish there was more, you know. Why didn't John write down more? Why did he write down more? Where's the rest of Jesus' teaching? The Sermon on the Mount. It's only like 3 chapters in Matthew. And you're just like, oh. The way when Jesus is walking after his resurrection, you know, and he's going to the road to Emmaus with the 2 disciples and he's explaining himself all about Moses and the law and the prophets about himself, and they're going, oh. And then they go, oh, it's Jesus. And they're like, whoa. And they run back up to Jerusalem. What did Jesus say? Oh. Why wasn't it written? You know, it's not all there. I wish we had it all. You know, but that's what Jesus did. He came down to take away our sins. That's exciting. I get excited about that. But that's what Jesus did. The Lamb of God. I think we'll finish there. Let's pray.